Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. So if you're listening on audio, I just want you to know this podcast episode is already out on video as well. So if you'd rather watch it and see it, and you can go to the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel. Just type in youtube.com/@Blue Collar Leadership to find that. So I'm excited today to continue the Real People Getting Real Results series with someone I'm getting to know pretty good. I think a lot of him. His name, you see him there on the screen if you're watching, Nathan Hammer. I'm going to call him Nate. He goes by Nathan or Nate or Hammer. What's up, Mr. Nate?
What's up? Hey, or Hammer time, Hammer down. You know, I've got, as I said a while ago, lots of nicknames accumulated over my lifetime. So
yeah, man, I bet you get Hammer time a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And on that note, real quick, I'll tell you this. So we have a 4-year-old son named Jackson. We named him Jackson for a reason. He's either going to be a really good football player with Jackhammer as a name, or he's going to be a pretty tough drummer, in the band, one of the two. So we'll see how that goes.
That's cool. John Maxwell always talks about, you know, giving people nicknames and things like that as a way to give them a reputation to uphold, give them something to live up to. So you might get one of those two things. So you better pick the one you want the most.
Well, for sure. And Tal, I had one more thing too on that. His middle name's Truett. My wife wanted to name him after Truett Cathy, the Chick-fil-A guy, for several reasons. But, Mr. Cathy built a legacy that's still going. And, we expect the boast. We expect the same thing for both of our kiddos as well. So it's fun.
That's outstanding. So yeah, we'll talk more about the Cathys and your connection for sure. Make sure we bring that up as we get going. But just for everybody who's listening and watching, I always like to start out these Real People Getting Real Results episodes with just share how we know each other. Cause I want everybody to know everybody that's on this series is somebody I know somehow. I may know them a little bit, or I may know them a lot. And sometimes they know me more than I know them, cause they've been reading my books or listening to my podcast. So how did we get tangled up, Nate?
How did you end up here today? I'll tell you this. It was back in around 2017. What is that, 7 years ago now? I was introduced to some of your work. I'm not sure if your podcast was out back then.
I think it came out in maybe 18. It's been out. I'm on the sixth season, 6 years it's been out.
Okay. So it must have been right before you released your podcast, but I was introduced to your website and your work and your books. And basically since 2017, I've been kind of in the background following you, really just connecting with what you're saying. And more importantly, though, who you're saying it to. Everybody puts their pants on the same way every morning. And it doesn't matter if you're a janitor or if you're the CEO or if you're out turning wrenches and digging trenches. We're all human beings, and we all deserve, to do a good job and go home safe and provide for our family and always grow as well. So with that being said, I guess that was a couple months ago now. I just felt led to send you a message on LinkedIn. So I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. And so I've been praying really heavily about some things going on with me professionally. And just, praying and asking God, what does he have in store for me? Show me and help me understand this, this plan. And so I just felt led to send you a message thinking, I'll never hear back from him. This is Max's story. He's like, he's the John Maxwell or Dave Ramsey of the blue collar folks. And I was like, man, if he did message me back though, that'd be pretty cool. And sure enough, he messaged me back just like everybody else within 5 minutes. And you're like, hey man, give me a call. I'd love to talk. I was like, what? Who's this guy? Like, does he know who he's talking to? Like, Anyway, so I called you and we talked, gosh, at least an hour and a half, probably, if not longer. You know, yeah. When you talk about things that you appreciate, time goes by pretty quick.
It was awesome.
I hope I don't sound too optimistic or over enthused or whatever, but it really did spark something in me, and it sparked this thing for the blue collar that I've been really trying to figure out what that looks like in my life. And, you know, so that phone call and some messaging after that, you really helped me see how I can tie, you know, my work and the blue collar leadership together. And man, I can't thank you enough. I say that with all my heart. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember you sent that message. It was something about I had changed your life or inspired you to do something in ways that words wouldn't explain something. I think that was you that said it like that, if I remember correctly. I get a lot of messages and calls. I can't remember everybody, and I hate that, but it's just the way it is. And it's
understandable. Yeah.
So you've been learning about me and knowing about me for 7-8 years before I even heard about you. And that's what's interesting to me. That happens a lot. You know, there's people, that's why I do what I do. I just put stuff out. I never know who's listening. I know somebody's always listening or watching or reading. And I really appreciate when they reach out like you did, Nate, because you pump me up. That's what motivates me. You know, like that phone call.
Awesome.
Having you on here today, all of you, you know, this is just series is just starting out. I think it's going to turn into something. You know, I don't do lots of, it's a weakness, I guess, but I think it's a strength. But I don't play the games on social media and marketing, and I don't do all that stuff. So it's going to have to be grassroots, organic, that this thing takes off. But I think over time, people are going to really like to watch these videos because they're coming from people from all different industries, all different levels, all different walks of life, just a whole lot of different people talking about the same thing, personal development and leadership development and getting results out of it. So that's why I appreciate you and others like you being on, because people hear me say it, I'm just one story. And they think I'm trying to sell them something, but I ain't trying to sell them something. I'm trying to help them. I put out so much free stuff. Nobody has to buy anything if they don't want to. So I really appreciate you partnering with me to help people. That's all we're doing here. So I appreciate you sharing that. And we'll get back to the personal growth and development stuff. But now I want people to know who are you? Where do you come from? And I guess I'll go ahead and start you in one spot, but you can go anywhere. But part of that phone call inspired you to start a podcast, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
And a newsletter?
Two newsletters, actually. Yes, sir.
So you got two newsletters, and was I right though? Was it you doing the podcast too, right?
Yep. That's correct. So I've not released the podcast yet, but
you're doing it.
I am working on putting one together. And you did inspire me to get out of my comfort zone and get on other folks' podcasts as well. So I'm already scheduled to be on a couple more here soon, just because you helped me see that the message needs to be heard. It doesn't matter what platform it's through. We just need to get the word out and you know, and do that. So
real quick before you dive into that, since you just mentioned, you know, you were on other people's podcasts. I mean, you're on this one with me. That's phenomenal. I know what we're talking about, but real quick, and I know you're going to dive into it deeper, but if somebody's watching or listening, what is it that you pretty much would be on a lot of, you'll open the invitations to be on people's podcasts, right? So
that's
what kind of topics,
sir.
I know you can talk about personal growth and that stuff, because that's what we're going to talk about, but what else, what specific topics, and that can lead you into whatever you want to share about your professional and personal life. But what kind of topics would you want someone to reach out? If somebody wanted you on their show, why would they want you on there?
So I would say environmental health and safety, pipeline safety, and the regulatory side of things there. That's where, you know, 85% of my career has been so far. The other 15% is on the technology side. And we'll get into this a little bit more, but I do want to mention my age. So I'm 35 years old. And I tell you that, not, you know, age is just a number, but I'm in a gap right now with technology and blue collar workforce and all that. And so the generation above me, the older folks, the folks who built what we have today that put the pipelines in the ground, that built the refineries, they're retiring. And there's so much wisdom in those guys and girls that we need to really not take lightly and to spend time soaking up all that wisdom and know that it's okay to make a career in blue collar. There is nothing wrong with getting hands dirty at work. You know, the government, and I'm not going to get into politics. I should have done this 10 years ago because it's too late in some ways getting involved in politics, but the government, and there's just this stigma of you have to have a college degree to make a good living. And the fact of the matter is that's not correct. That's absolutely false. You know, I have a college degree only because that's at the time, you know, that's what I was thinking that I needed to do. And it's funny because when I was going to school full time, I was also working full time at a chemical manufacturing plant in Oklahoma, in maintenance and operations. So I was turning wrenches, like I said earlier, turning wrenches, digging trenches, spraying for weeds, cleaning toilets. I was doing all the above full time, going to school full time. But the whole time I was working in maintenance, I was always, you know, asking myself, what could be done better? How could we do this better? What can I do more as a human being to learn more about this and to grow, you know, professionally? And so that's kind of what led me into getting the college degree that I got, which was environmental health and safety. That was the only degree at the college I went to at the time that would keep me in the industry working with these guys. Okay. So that's kind of the only reason I chose that degree, to be honest with you, because everything else was just didn't sound fun. It was all too white collar for me. So with that being said, going back to the 35 years old thing. On the flip side, the generation underneath me, the younger folks, they're all about doing work on their phone. If they can't do it from their phone or some kind of mobile device, they probably don't want to do it. And so we're in interesting times nowadays with the workforce. And so I want people to know, and I'm going to continue sharing you and your story and what you're doing to the world as best I can in the industries that I'm involved in. But we've got to get rid of this. Yes, sir. But we've got to get rid of this stigma of you know, the blue collar workforce. Because you say this, you know, and it's funny that I've said this for a few years, but it's very similar to how you say it. You know, the blue collar workforce built this country and they're what's going to keep it afloat. And there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's the truth, you know. So, So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And I do appreciate you sharing the message because, I mean, I'm passionate about this. It's not just a job for me. It ain't even close to being a job for me. It's my passion and purpose. And again, that's why I appreciate folks like you coming on this show and talking about, because all different walks of life. And I want, there's plenty of folks doing what I do for the white collar folks. I ain't got nothing against them. I speak to a lot of white collar folks. We need both sets of people. We got to have both sets of people, but I'm focused on the blue collar folks because in my experience, and I got a lot of it in the blue collar space, most of us have been overlooked, underdeveloped, underappreciated, and really underdeveloped is the main thing. And a lot of folks, unless they develop themselves, they're not going to get developed because their companies are not going to do it. And that's, you know, I'm on a mission to help the companies that want to do it. But one reason I'm so happy that you're on here and other guests come on this series is so that people can see, hey, these folks are doing it. They're getting results. I can do it and get results. I don't matter if my boss does it or anything like that. So let's talk about your professional side for a bit before we go back and really talk about this leadership stuff. But you got anything you want to share about it's also could be your personal story because it all kind of blends together, your personal story and your professional story, but however far back you want to go and share about how you got to where you are today, anything you hadn't shared already, if you want to do that, that's fine. Or we can dive into the leadership stuff when you get ready.
I will say while this is on my mind, you know, you mentioned white collar. I mentioned blue collar earlier. We'll talk about my career a little bit more and kind of my past, but just to get this off my chest real quick.
Yeah.
It's interesting as, you know, environmental health and safety professionals, it's in every industry out there.
Yep.
But what's What I'm trying to do, and I'm still with your help trying to figure out how to do this. So this is a journey on its own, you know, thing. But I'm trying to figure out. So if you look at it, EHS people are, you know, usually the first to respond to emergencies. They're always at the front. They're supposed to be at the front line working with the blue collar workforce.
Yeah.
Helping them work safer, helping them work more compliantly. But if you look at, and this isn't everybody in the EHS world, but you know, a lot of folks that you work with, whether it's in, you know, environmental engineers or safety engineers, they're hard to talk to. They just can't connect with blue collar folks. And that's just what it is. You know, it's just, it's nothing against any of them. I've worked with, you know, tons of engineers, all over the world, yep. But that's just how it is. So really, you know, what I'm finding more and more interest in as this goes on is how can we help train EHS, you know, professionals to better connect with their blue collar workforce and not be the safety cop, but be having true relationships with these folks that are doing the work. Because if the work ain't getting done by the blue collar, you ain't going to get paid. You know, that's, y'all are the ones that make the work happen. And don't take that lightly. You know, every blue collar worker out there, in my opinion, dirty hands is clean money. And I'll leave it at that. You know, you can take what you want out of that. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with blue collar workforce. And
I think everything's right with them. I mean, you know, the work they're doing is highly, highly valuable work. Every single thing that we ride in, walk on, fly in, pick up. I mean, everything, furniture, appliances, the gas, the utility, everything. I mean, I'd say blue collar people, you know, they're the backbone of this country and the world. Anybody willing to do all that work. And some people don't want to do, but there's always somebody who loves doing it, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's cool about making us unique and different. So yeah, that's a good line. And I would say, I don't know, you know, I heard Les Brown say a long time ago, coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. And that's one of my favorite quotes from him. And even before I became a Christian, when I was agnostic, I still love that quote from him because it just made sense. And I don't know if it's one of those coincidences, but you're talking about people, you know, connecting, and especially the white collar folks trying to connect with the blue collar people. But right there, if you hadn't read that book, that's the one they need to learn from right there. Rhea's book, straight
up, right.
The Power of Effective Communication, because it's all about how to make connection. And Jason Denham out in Texas right now, he's leading four different of his leadership teams through a 30-minute book study. He leads four 30-minute book studies on that book right now. He just started it the last week or two, going through that with his folks. But it's, you know, they need it to connect and communicate with each other and also with the customers and suppliers. But it also worked well with the group you were talking about, people maybe who are working in the office environment, that sort of stuff, who maybe don't get out in the field a lot. It's more that, you know, connections more than communications about information, but connections about motivation, inspiration, and transformation. And I don't want to turn this into a teaching lesson because it's about you, but that's what happened.
We started talking about leadership. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about what you're doing in blue collar workforce. You know, go on, man. You're not going to hurt my feelings at all.
No, I'm going to stop right there. I was about to get into teaching some stuff, but we can talk about that later. I can't help it. When we start talking about the leadership stuff, it's just my subconscious gets on fire and it wants to unload. But
that's right.
Here, let's get some more of your story, man. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. It's good stuff.
Yeah, you bet. So I'll kind of go back. I'll just kind of give a super high level view of where I have been and what has helped get me here to where I'm at today. So I mentioned earlier working full time while I went to school full time. Those 4 or 5 years in the chemical plant, working, you know, pipe fitting, helping pipe fit, doing fixed maintenance work, you know, rebuilding pumps, pipe work, all of that was just the best learning I've ever had. Spending time with if you don't mind me saying his name, Phil Buford, he's a welder that I got to work with, and he taught me a lot, not just about pipe fitting and maintenance work, but about life. Yeah. And really, really taking each day and appreciating it and not taking anything for granted. So all that to say, that's I started my career there, like I said, for about 4 or 5 years there. Then I went over to a consulting company in Tulsa. They're actually a they're known for nuclear engineering and, okay. and construction and things of that nature. But I worked on their environmental compliance division in Tulsa. And that's where I met Jeff Elbert, which is another mentor of mine that has been a very, very big inspiration on my career. And he's I want to introduce you on one of these days. Okay. That's a whole nother conversation. But it's been about a year and a half there doing environmental consulting work in mostly oil and gas. But I also did some, construction, heavy industrial and manufacturing consulting work as well. Really just in that year and a half, I learned a lot, okay. probably more than I learned in my college degree, to be honest with you.
Okay. And you live in Oklahoma right now. Yeah. Did you grow up in Oklahoma? Because you're telling stories about Oklahoma. You've been around Oklahoma your whole life, pretty much. I mean, unless you're traveling for work and stuff.
Born and raised, and it would take a big thing for me to get moved out of here. My roots are planted. Yeah, roots are planted. So I'm Cherokee Indian, Native American. I don't look like it right now, but during the summertime, you can tell. Okay. But Cherokee Nation is headquartered in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So. Okay. Love Native American, history and culture and everything.
That's awesome.
Oklahoma. And then, Texas is just south of us. They're about, if I had to move anywhere, I might think about moving to Texas, but that's a whole nother conversation. Okay. Actually, you mentioned Jason Denham a while ago. I sent him a message after his video released and told him, keep up the good work. I love what he's doing, man. We need more people like him in this industry. And a lot of that boils down to, you doing what you're doing, the mission that you're telling. I about said selling. You're not selling it. You're telling it. People just happen to buy stuff to support you because they believe so much in you. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So going back to the consulting thing. So about a year and a half of that at that company, then I went to Koch Industries, which I know you have several Charles Koch quotes in some of your books.
Yeah, for those listening, he's saying Coke as in K-O-C-H. They're in the, you can describe it better than me. What industry? I know they're in petroleum industry to some deep level, but something like that. They do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so they're in Wichita, Kansas. That's their headquarters, but they're global. So they do anything from chemicals, petrochemicals, refineries. So Flint Hills Resources, Georgia Pacific. Coke Ag and Energy Solutions. They do fertilizer, pretty much any kind of product that's some kind of industrialized process to it. They make it. Yep. So I spent about 4 years with Coke Industries in Enid, Oklahoma at one of their chemical plants there. So I started off there as an environmental technician, really just, boots on the ground, waste management, activities, managing basically all of the compliance initiatives outside of air quality. Okay. It was about a year of me doing environmental technician work, maybe a year and a half, I don't remember. And I was able to get promoted to environmental manager there. And a lot of that none of that has anything to do with me. I attribute it to number one, my faith and my my beliefs, but number two, yeah. I really think that how I approached myself and being out there in the field with these guys and making relationships with the operators and the maintenance crews, I attribute it all to them. They helped me through so many things, and they helped me because they wanted to, not because they had to.
Absolutely,
I didn't ever once walk out there in a suit and tie mentality. My number one priority was getting to know them, and not just to mark the checkbox off on the piece of paper, but because I truly care. I really wanted to get to know them and know about their family and where they grew up, what they've been doing in the past, because I care about that stuff. And so like I said, shout out to all those guys that helped me get there.
Somebody helped us all. Everybody lifting this up. If you if if you're going up, whatever that means, somebody else has lifted you up. I remember John always talking about if you self-made, you ain't made much. That's what John Maxwell always says. I always love that quote because there's a lot of people that go around saying they're self-made. They ain't self-made. If they've accomplished very much at all, they had some people helping them. And it don't matter what level they're at. And what you just touched on, Nate, what you did is a good example when you talk about people coming from the office to connect with people. And it's hard to connect, and sometimes they don't. At the root of that, if they care about those people authentically, they're going to connect.
That's right.
If they don't, they're going to be pretending. And I always tell, when it comes to authenticity, blue-collar folks, they got night vision. They can see in the dark. They can read.
You can't find any better. That's right.
And they know what's authentic. Yeah, they know what being authentic is. So you're dead on. So all that, right, what you just shared was at Coke, right? While you were at
Coke. Sir.
So Coke. Just for the listeners, and you know better than me probably, it seems like I remember from reading those couple of books I read from Charles Koch, and I highly recommend them. They're real good leadership books. And The Science of Management, I think it was, and the other one was Good Profit.
So The Science of Success, Good Profit.
Science of Success.
Yes, sir. Good Profit. And then there's a newer one that's called, it's actually in my living room. Believe in People.
Yeah, I got to get that one. That sounded like a good one. But they're like a $115 billion company or something, if I remember right.
They're big, you know.
They're big.
And I will say this, while we're talking about Coke, I could sit here and talk for a couple hours about Coke. They get a lot of bad publicity.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to get into that, but
yeah,
I got to meet Charles Koch, the guy, you know, the main guy. And I also got to talk to his son, Chase Koch, probably for a good 5 or 10 minutes in Enid. And what they're doing, it boils back down to being authentic and really connecting and that goes a long way. You know, people don't need to take that for granted. But they're just doing so many awesome things in the industry, and they're at the forefront of technology. They're at the forefront of training their maintenance and operations folks. Cause they care. They want to be a step ahead of everybody else. And I truly believe it's because they care about their workers. They want the best for their workers. And ultimately, just like you talk about, you take care of your workers, they're going to take care of the company and the bottom line.
Yep.
So, and one thing I will say too, to add to the Coke thing, they practice market-based management, and they have a set of guiding principles. And I would encourage folks to look into that a little bit and to do some studying on that. These books that we just talked about talk a lot about it.
Yep.
But there's a lot of value in what they've done as the industry for folks to take advantage of and to learn from. So,
yeah, that's, you know, when I read those books, you know, I had always, what I knew about them was all the political stuff that you hear. But So when I read those books, I was very nicely impressed, because those books by Charles Koch speaking all the same stuff I'm speaking. Doesn't mean everybody in his company does it. No. The companies are full of people, and that one's got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of employees. I mean, that's a lot, you know, the more people in an organization, the stuff that I teach and preach about is the harder it is, you know, to get that to stick, because most people don't want anything to do with what I teach. They just want to go to work and go home. And if they're a boss, a lot of them want to rest on their position and their power and authority. And I mean, it's hard. And I know we ain't going there yet, but I just want to plant that seed that Chick-fil-A does it really, really well. And they're a big company and they got a lot of people, but it's still hard. They were a client of ours for 3 years, and I mean, we met some folks who need some development, but they were at the right place to get it. But they still have people struggles too. Just because they're Chick-fil-A doesn't mean they got everybody in the company is perfect, because we're all still real people. We're all going to struggle. We're going to fall off the wagon. We're going to do something we shouldn't do, say something we shouldn't say. But I was going to ask you real quick. I don't know if I ever shared with you, or you know from reading or listening to us, but you know, Rhea's background is in regulatory affairs and compliance. She was director of regulatory affairs and compliance at about a 3,000 person hospital. And so she knows all about what you're talking about, you know, connecting with, because she was responsible, just like you know, for all the rules and regulations, trying to motivate and inspire people to actually follow them who don't report to her. So she knows all, you know, whenever you read her stuff, she's talking about influence from a perspective of kind of like I was when I was in lean. Nobody reported to me, but I was responsible for getting everybody to buy into process improvement. So I didn't know if you knew that about Rhea.
No, I didn't know that. I am going to look into that though. And I appreciate you telling me that, because that's super awesome. I didn't know that. I've listened to some of her. I think it was one of her TEDx talks. If she mentioned it in there, I might have missed it. But man, you probably not just you, but what y'all are doing as Mac and Rhea story, you know, I'm all about it. You know, I need to get me a T-shirt that says something neat. I'll have big old picture of y'all in front of it or something.
We just regular people, man, just trying to make an irregular difference, just like you. And, well, you know, I don't know if you're gonna have guests on your podcast when you get going, but I don't know how you're gonna choose guests. But if she fits, I'm happy to be on there for sure. If I fit, you know, if I don't, that's fine too. But if she fits, she may fit better than me because of her compliance background. It's in a different industry, but you know, her leadership, communication, talks, all that kind of stuff, you know, might help you. But you got to decide how it's your platform, man. You get to decide who you're going to invite and who you're not. And some people invite everybody from everywhere, and some people is on purpose. And like you introduced me to Christian the other day, and he's a phenomenal guy, by the way. But he only does, I think, people from the oil field. So that's, you know, I offered to be on his if he wanted it, but I don't care if he wants to be on there or not. But he was saying, you know, he just has staying in his lane, which is powerful for building your brand. So anyway, you figure that out when you get going. Let's get back into your story though.
Yep. I'd love to have y'all actually. You know, I'm still trying to figure that out, what that looks like. But I know it is important to maintain, you know, focus on a niche or a niche or whatever you call it, but I'm still trying to figure that out. But I would love to have y'all regardless of what niche I go into. Y'all are on there.
And when you do it, you know, we just started our Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel. But if you record your podcast on videos, I mean, you could simultaneously start a YouTube channel just by putting them out there. And then you could also do any other kind of teaching or training on your, you know, there's all kind of ways to do it. But what you want to do, I guess a little mentoring for you and anybody who's listening though, is you want to try to leverage your time and your content as much as possible. Some people say you just put it in one place, and I understand their thing too, but I like to put it in multiple places for people. Some people don't want to get on YouTube and listen to the audio, but they like to get on my podcast and listen to the audio because that's just what they do. So, but you can leverage your content easily. And if you use Spotify, which is free for anybody listening, you can start your own podcast on Spotify for free. And they got a way that you can do it by video on there too. We're just not going to do our videos on there. We're going to do them on the YouTube channel. But yeah, man, you can, lots of ways to leverage your time and your content.
Man, that's some good nuggets. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I know I'll be reaching out to you as that moves along to get some more tips. Yep. Going back to the, where did we leave off at?
You were at Cope. You had been.
Oh yeah. 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 Cope. So I about a year and a half, I got promoted environmental manager. Again, going back to, because I was, you know, it's all number one, God, number two, the folks that had boots on the ground helping me do that. And I do want to say too, real quick, Coke, they really, going back to the market-based management and guiding principles, that's something, you know, those are things that I learned there that I'm never going to forget. And one of those items is, I think they trademarked this term, so I'm not sure if I can say it, but it's called principled entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And what that is basically at the end of the day, always be looking for ways to do something better, even if it's in a different department, you know, even if you're in maintenance, but you can see a way that the engineers can do something better, go tell them. That's what makes companies grow, is always be looking for ways to do something better, even if it's not in your department. And not only looking for ways, but say something about it and not be scared to speak up and you know, hold your ground if you really believe in that. So
yep.
That's kind of something I've learned back then that has kept with me ever since. So
yeah, they got some good stuff in those books I read, and again, not everybody's living them like the like Charles Koch wants them to live them, but that's what's expected. I mean, a lot of people are living it. I mean, you don't get to 115 billion by accident. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens with intention. So yeah, that's good stuff. Right.
So I out there too. I'll say this, and then I'll move on to my next thing. I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to help permit their plant expansion that they had back in the 2015 to 2017 area. So they had, I believe at the time it was Koch's largest capital investment they've ever made in one facility. And it had a $1.3 billion price tag on it, I think. But I was able to help, you know, with some permitting there and coordinating some work there, as well as help expand the ammonia plants and the old urea plant that they had there. So at one point, man, we had several thousand contractors on site, lots of moving parts, you know, a turnaround going on in one unit and stuff going on at the Greenfield site, the new plant. And there were just so many moving parts, but it you know, I was able to be, I don't want to say successful because I don't mean to come across boastful or anything, but I want to say it again, that part of my success, I attribute it to my connections and my networking with those guys that had boots on the ground, you know, the blue collar workforce. I really attribute that success, you know, with that networking and relationships.
So that's so awesome you say that, because those men and women are always lifting and elevating people up through the ranks. But not, I mean, if anybody's climbing through the ranks, it's because the front line is lifting them up.
That's right.
The only way they're getting results is because those folks are delivering. But the unfortunate part is a lot of folks don't give them credit, but you do. And I do. And there's quite a few that do, but some don't. Mm-hmm. And we just want to model what you should do, not what you shouldn't do. But we can learn from those that don't. We can learn what not to do and how not to be. They can teach us some lessons too. Good stuff, Nathan.
That's right. So I left Koch back in 2017-ish. Went to downtown Oklahoma City, working for a midstream company, which is now owned by Energy Transfer. There was they acquired that company back in 2020, I think it was. So spent a few years there, and I was about, it was kind of half office work, half field site visits. So again, going back to making those relationships with the guys in the field and, you know, creating the networking there and creating those honest relationships. I still talk to, 85% of the people that I worked with out in the field at that company. I still talk to them as I can here and there, just send them a text message, see how things are going and do what I can. I don't want to say motivate them, but, you know, share, whether it's sharing one of your podcast episodes or tagging some of them on LinkedIn, like I've been doing, introducing you, you know, kind of helping out that way. But the, about 3.5 years there, in environmental compliance, learned a little bit about the pipeline safety side of things as well, which some people think, you know, environmental health and safety, then they think pipeline safety. Some people think it's the same, but, you know, pipeline safety is a whole nother thing. It's corrosion and operator qualification training and all of that. So I was exposed to that a little at that company, and then left there. Went to A&M Engineering in Tulsa for a few years, doing environmental compliance consulting with Jeff, the guy that I mentioned earlier, my mentor. And then for a little over a year, I've been at Premier Safety Resources in Cushing, Oklahoma, which those folks that aren't familiar with Oklahoma, Cushing's called the pipeline crossroads of the world. So lots of major oil pipelines go through Cushing. And it is North America's largest oil storage hub, if not the world. It might still be the world's largest, but there's over 75, 80 million barrels of oil storage there in Cushing.
The Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that's a big piece of it, or that's the majority of it, or something like that.
That's right. And it's neat looking at a pipeline map at the USA. You see a lot of big pipelines going to the heart of Oklahoma. Well, that's where fishing is. So it's pretty neat. But a lot of, you know, a lot of the oil out of the Permian down in Midland, Texas, comes up through pipeline and gets stored here in Cushing. And so pretty cool how it works, man. People, I would encourage folks, you know, on that note, if they're looking for careers to get into that, that's in blue collar, the pipeline industry is, it's not going anywhere. You know, there's a big need now, and there'll be a lot bigger need in the future, for pipelines. And, again, not going to talk about politics, but there's a lot of good work. And there's a lot of, there's a big need for more workers in the pipeline industry. So, I would encourage folks, if you, you know, if you want to work at, work on the pipeline, check out our website, psrok.com. We do a lot of training, and, you know, we could get you guys certified to run operations, equipment, heavy equipment. We can get you certified to do tasks on pipelines if you want to get into pipeline operations. There's a lot of things that we can train folks on, there at PSR in Cushing. So
that's good stuff. And that's another good reason having folks like you on, you know, a lot of different people's going to be talking about a lot of different industries. You know, sometimes blue collar folks ain't even thought of jobs outside of their industry, cause they kind of get like I did in manufacturing, kind of get trapped into one lane, which is fine too. But a lot of people do want to move, or their spouse moves, or whatever reason they relocate. And just for the listeners, you may hear some blue collar guys working outside. They building a subdivision across the street from me, and they right up by the road right now, putting in a big sewer line. They got the big track hose, two or three of them out there digging. I can hear it, but real take some of that out, I think, when we're done. But I don't know if you can hear that or not, Nate, but if you do, no, that's what it is.
Okay. Gotcha. No, I can't hear it, but that's,
sometimes they're cool, right though. Right now they digging and banging and all that kind of stuff, but they've been out there for about a year, and we've been trying to record online courses and all that kind of stuff. But we're doing it anyway. But Rhea gets most of that sound out. So that's cool, man. And yeah, if you're listening and you're interested, reach out to Nathan Hammer Time. He'll help you. He can give you some insight. And I know him from what little bit I actually talked to Nate. I know he wants to help you. So if all you want to do is pick his brain about the industry, I'm sure you're open to that, right, Nate?
I am. Yes, sir. Shoot me a text. I think Miss Rhea, has my phone number there.
Rattle that off real quick so they can hear it.
Yeah, sure. 918-346-7920. I ask that you send me a text. And the reason is I just get so many spam calls nowadays. You know, the only spam I like is fried on some white bread. I don't like that other kind of spam, you know. So
hey, they love to spam out in Hawaii. You ever been out there?
Oh yeah, yeah. We did get to go actually about 5 years ago now. Beautiful, just awesome. Just everywhere you look, beautiful, beautiful spot.
You see that spam on the menu? It's like you go to a nice restaurant and they got spam, and they got spam kinds of cooked all kinds of ways everywhere. It's like a thing.
That's
from
a
the
delicacy.
War.
That's right. It's a delicacy.
Turned onto that.
That's right. Even the McDonald's had it too. What's that? It's musabi or something like that. It's like spam and rice, I think.
They got all kind of stuff.
Talk about good. No more simpler than it is. I was like, man, this is awesome. Good, good eating. So, but yeah, either, you know, send me a text or find me on LinkedIn. Nathan Hammer. Okay, I think is my LinkedIn tag. You could also check out Premier Safety Resources. We have a LinkedIn page as well. Just search for Premier Safety Resources. It'll pop up. But we're always, you know, I have a few newsletters that I do on my LinkedIn as well. So we as a company want to give value to folks. And then just like you do, you want to give value first. And if they see value in it and want, you know, to move further potentially, then it, you know, that's a whole nother thing, but we're not trying to shove stuff down their throat to buy. So I do have a couple of newsletters on LinkedIn talking about pipeline safety and environmental health and safety. And, you know, I would encourage folks that are out in the industry, just because you're not, an EHS professional doesn't mean you can't learn a little bit and take that extra step and really, you know, even if you have an EHS professional that doesn't talk to you very well, you know, take the initiative to learn a little bit about what they do. And even if you have some tips to give them, you know, create that relationship. And, you know, EHS folks, people don't realize the amount of liability that they have to handle, both on people and law too. You know, there's tons of new environmental laws coming out that affect a lot of folks. So there's just a lot of stress on EHS professionals. So I would encourage folks to, you know, if they can, to kind of help boost them up if at all possible. So,
all right. Good stuff.
Yeah. And then too, so I was going to say one more thing too. I'm kind of all over the board right now, but I did co-found a company down in Midland, Texas called Trunkline. And the idea behind it is we want to make a platform that any blue collar worker can use to help get their brand out there. So it's an online marketplace for oil field vendors. Folks can create a portfolio and showcase their work and sell their services there. And so all that to say, you know, we have blue collar in mind when we built it. The guys that are out in the field doing the work, they're the ones that know most about this.
Yeah.
not the marketing people that's in the office trying to market the services, you know, that the blue collar folks are out there in the field doing. So, check out trunkline.com if you have any interest in learning more about that. Or again, you know, find me on LinkedIn or send me an email at nathan@trunkline.com. And again, going back to like you said earlier, Matt, I provide value number one. If something comes out of it, that's great. If not, I'm always up for a good conversation and to learn more about other people. Because at the end of the day, it's very important that we have a network and that we connect with folks and do what we can to help each other out. So,
yeah, that's good stuff, man. So you got any more on your professional side before I start asking you about leadership stuff and personal growth?
No, I think that's it.
All right. So I appreciate you sharing that because, it gives insight to a lot of people who don't work in your industry to understand there's a lot of opportunity out there. And I'm sure it's just like all the other blue collar industries that people don't know about that ain't involved. I'm sure they pay really well in some of them jobs. I mean, there's a lot of blue collar folks pretty much in every industry I know of that make well into the six figures. I mean, maybe not starting out, but they don't have to work. Some of them don't have to work long to get to those six figures. They just don't. They don't know that's actually an opportunity out there. I mean, almost every industry has jobs that pay that without that many years of experience. You ain't got to be an executive to make it six figures in the blue collar space. You can still be getting dirty and hot and sweaty and make, especially if, I mean, I'm talking about not even with overtime. You add in overtime, it's real easy to get into the six figures.
Yes, sir. Yep. I know several pipeline welding hands that work 6 months out of the year, and they make a lot more than I do. I'll just say that. So there's a lot of opportunity there. And that's something else, too. If folks want to learn more, I would encourage just to get on the internet and just do some research. There's tons of opportunities out there that they don't require a college education. There might be a little bit of some specialized training, depending on, you know, if you want to get into pipeline welding, you know, there's some certifications you have to get there. But there's no 4-year degree required in a lot of it. So,
yeah, that's what I always tell people. College is one place to get an education, but a lot of times it ain't the best place.
That's right.
But the key for anybody listening is you got to get an education. It can be self-education, it can be on the job training, it can be years of experience, but you got to get educated. And so that's one piece of the component. You know, I always talk about the 87-13 rule. 87% of our results and success come from character and only 13% from competency. So no matter how much competency you have, you got to have character to launch yourself. Your character is either going to launch you or limit you relative to your competencies. So I was 39 when I discovered this type of content. After 20 years working in manufacturing, no leader ever introduced me to this type of content. But you said you've been doing it 6, 7, 8 years. So you're 35. You got over a 10-year head start on me. So how did what led you to initially get interested in personal growth and development? You know, how did that start? When did that start? I mean, you kind of told me when, but what caused it to happen?
I would say what really kicked me in the rear to learn more about it is looking back at the time I spent and the money I spent going to college and what I didn't learn in college, but what I did learn out in the field. That whole time just made me kept thinking, man, there has to be more to this instead of getting a college education. There has to be more. It's just, you know, I mentioned earlier, that's just kind of been in the back of my mind the past 15 years was there has to be more, you know, never get complacent, yep. Never quit learning, never stop growing. And that's not just professionally, that's personally as well. You know, you never want to be stuck in the status quo. You know, you always want to be one step ahead of each other. So, oh boy, I just lost train of thought. We might want to take this out.
It's all right. Was my stuff the first stuff, or you got some stuff before my stuff?
No, nothing before your stuff. So that's where I was going. I got on the rabbit trail. My apologies. So I was, again, going back to me thinking there has to be something more, you know, something more to feed that hunger that I have. I didn't know what it was at the time. Looking back at it now, it was blue collar leadership growth. I didn't know what to do or really where to look. So I just started looking online. And, you know, even back then you were number one on Google search results for, I think I might've put in like at the time, maybe like, I don't know, field service leadership or something like that. I don't know what it was, but yeah. Whatever it was, I found you on Google. You know, back then I wasn't very involved at all on LinkedIn, but I found you on Google, and I think I started off getting pulled into your website resources.
Okay.
And then from there, I started, you know, about a year or so after that, once your podcast came out, you know, I remember some of your first episodes, and they were, gosh, some of them were just a few, 5-10 minutes long.
Yeah, I started out, you know, quick, doing them quick, because I was doing them every day. I was just doing short ones every day to get some content out there. So if somebody started listening, they didn't have to wait a week, or they didn't only have one. So I did like, I think a first, I can't remember if it was 30, 90 or 60 days, 100 days. I can't even remember, but I did one every day for quite a few days. Then I started doing three a week, and then I got down to one a week. And anyway, the first ones are short. If somebody wants to check out the Blue Collar Leadership podcast, it's on most podcast apps.
And I would, any of the episodes I would recommend, but people, you know, people need to remember that your podcast is, it's free. It's a free resource. And I would recommend anybody just to pick a random episode and start listening. What's the 30 part series that you're almost finished with now?
Yeah. Who's buying you until you sell yourself? You won't sell much. It's really how to sell with character, you know, how to connect and build relationships and help the person, serve the person while you're selling to them, not just try to make them buy something, not try to manipulate them. But yeah, that's
exactly right.
Yeah, that's, and also just real quick for the listeners, I've got a lot of 30 part podcast series, and they're easier to find if you go to the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel, because on there we upload all of our audio podcasts are also on the YouTube channel, but we got a playlist by all the different books, you know, so like Blue Collar Leadership, leading yourself from the front, leading from the front lines, look for that playlist. You'll find a 30 part series, Blue Collar Leadership and Supervision 30 part series. You know, I got a bunch of them, but it's easy to find the series on the YouTube channel because we're allowed to create those playlists. So anybody looking, first time listeners or who hadn't been listening long, you can go find them there. You can also find them on the podcast, obviously, but you got to do a lot of scrolling and digging and looking to go back and find them, because there's nearly 400 episodes right now. So you dove into some content. You remember, how many books have you read of mine? A few? Are you mainly on podcasts now? Or you ordered books back then? What did you actually do?
It's mostly been podcasts. Okay. I do have one of your audio books.
Okay.
And we'll need to talk about this offline, but I want to get I want to get more involved with more of your books and seeing what that looks like.
Yep, we can talk when we get done here. We'll be able to hang out after the official recording is over. We can chat then if you got time. I'll have some time.
Sure.
I got to do another one of these videos, interviews after we finish yours. I'm doing one coming up with Matthew McGrath. He's over in Croatia, and it's going to be cool to interview him. So I'm going to be interviewing people from all around the world. But yeah, we can chat.
Awesome.
I'll have time after this. We can dig into that.
So I have, let me look at it real quick, because you have 15 something books. I can't remember all of them, but the one that I'm going through right now is Leading from the Front Lines.
Oh yeah. That's
it's the audio. Yep. The audio book. And I would recommend that, man. All of your content's good. And again, I don't want to sound overly optimistic, but there's just so many, somebody said this the other day and I laughed because it was super true, but they said your stuff is like, it's all good stuff without the fluff or something like that.
Oh yeah, that was Renee.
And was that Renee? Okay. That's exactly what it is. Like there's no, there's no filler in it. It's just all golden. It's just all nuggets. And, for busy folks to have that kind of content, it's awesome to be able to listen for a chapter here and there and just to soak it all up, man. So keep up the good work with that and what you're doing. I always joke with people. I'm not a big book reader. I do read books, but they have to have pictures in them. So audio
I don't have any pictures.
Audio books is what I really strive to do. Audio books and podcasts. But
yeah, that's,
but yeah, so that's
some
the
of
book
the fluff
that I'm on right now.
That's some of the fluff I left out of my books. No pictures. Because I wanted to make it small, because a majority of blue collar folks, they'll say they don't like to read books, but a lot of them figure out they do like to read books if they're written right. If they're a good
That's
book,
exactly
it
right.
gets their interest. And part of that though is making it a little book, no matter who you are. Most people like a little book because they can get through it really quick. So it's they're 30 chapters, 3 pages each. Most of all of my books, if you see them, in a print format, they're 30 chapters, 3 pages each. So you can read a chapter in 6 to 7 minutes, or you can listen to a chapter like you are for 6 to 7 minutes. But, it's just, I use fairly small font, not big. I don't put gaps in there. I don't put big quotes in there to take up space to make it bigger, because I want it to be less than 100 pages. I want it to be that 30 chapter, 3 page format, but I did want it to be full of content. Like my 3 pages might be, in a regular book that people are trying to put all the fluff in, my 3 pages of content probably would take up 6 pages. They'd make bigger font. They'd make gaps in between the paragraphs and put out big old quotes, in the middle of the page to, all kinds of things, and break out, make bulleted lists with a bunch of space between it, and short, skinny paragraphs, to stretch them out, all kind of things that people do to make a book bigger. But, Nathan, my first book was Defining Influence, Increasing Your Influence Increases Your Options. And it's kind of my foundational book, but it was about 300 and something pages, 19 chapters. First thing somebody told me, though, blue collar guy, was, this thing's too big. I said, okay. So my second book, I listened to the voice of the customer. So my second book was 120 pages, same price. I said, well, this is good. I can get same content, but I can get paid 3 times as much for it. So I'm selling the book for the same price as the big book. And then the third book was the one that you got right there, Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines. And that's when I honed it down a little bit more and got more methodical about it, and made it the 30 chapter, 3 page format. So all of my books since then have been that, except for the Blue Collar Leadership Toolbox Tips. They're little micro lessons, 60 lessons in one book. They're not on audio, but that's the only ones of mine that are not like that. So you started applying what you've been listening to, getting results, or how did that work?
Right.
What happened there? As far as, you ain't just listening. Listening don't do you any good. I always tell people, listening to something, you're learning about it. You ain't learning it until you go apply it.
There is an abundance of information out there nowadays with social media, the internet, whatever. You can find anything you want, whether it's good or bad, on the internet. And what really helped me with your content is the straightforwardness of not just things that you need to apply, but also some motivation to get that stuff and apply to your life. You know, one of your podcasts that I've been listening to on repeat this year is 24. Was it No More Excuses in 24?
Oh yeah,
or something of that nature. Yeah. And it's just, it's full of wisdom and encouragement to not just grow and read, but to do something about it and be that person that's making the change in the industry. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, doesn't matter what position you're in, what your title is. That's, none of that means anything, but always be looking for ways to make yourself grow again, both professionally and at home. And don't be scared. Don't be scared to just make it happen. You know, I've struggled personally in my life. I'm very bad at overthinking things sometimes. And what I appreciate most about your content and how it's presented is it's, none of it's like simple. It's all really good wisdom, but the way that you present it is, it's in a way that, that is no nonsense. It's just like, okay, I got to do better at not making excuses, and I just got to get my stuff done. And, there's, you know, that's something that, that has helped me in my career is how you present your content, and how you kind of help people apply that to their lives. So yes, your content, and the wisdom that you're sharing in your content is, has helped me get to where I'm at today. And I'm excited to see how it helps me and my network in the future. And I'm excited to call you a mentor, and I'm looking forward yep. to what that looks like as we continue to talk more and as we continue to grow our connection and to help each other grow and whatever that looks like. God, I don't know what that looks like. God knows what that looks like, and that's all that matters. And I'm excited, man. You know, I would encourage anybody that's listening to just don't overthink it. And just start off with a podcast, one of your podcast episodes. And once you get into the content that you put out, it sells itself. So people will know, people know that you're not shoving things down their throat to buy. They know that you really truly care, and what you're doing is not to get rich off of. It's because you care about the industry and you want to see people do better. So yes, it has helped me tremendously, and I appreciate it. And like I said, I'm excited to see what the next year looks like.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you sharing about that. You know, one reason, I mean, my podcast, can't even think of the word at the moment. You can make it where you monetize it. That's the word I'm thinking for. There's several ways on Spotify you can monetize a podcast, you know, to make money, but I don't do that either. They may make me one day, but it's probably costing me. They ain't making money off of my podcast. They ain't either. So they ain't like sharing it with the world. That's why it's gotta be organic. People have to tell people. Cause I don't want it. I want my podcast to be free. I mean, meaning free of commercials also. And they could put commercials in it, I guess. And I wouldn't know it because I don't listen to it, but I ain't heard anybody say they've ever heard a commercial in my podcast. But if they do, I didn't put it in there. Not unless they make me start having to do it, but it's just like the YouTube channel. I ain't going to do promotions and stuff like that. And I don't care about promoting stuff just to try to make more money. You see people do these channels and then they got to pause. Hang on a minute while I do a commercial. You know, I ain't gonna do all that stuff, and ain't nothing against it with somebody else doing it, but I want to be authentic. I want people to know I'm helping them. Same way, you know, we do with our book deal. When people buy 300 books, we come speak for free up to 2 hours, or they can get an all access 1 month subscription to our Blue Collar Leadership Academy, where they can do online courses. But basically, we're basically speaking for free because the cost is $5,400 for 300 books. And that's all they got to pay. And we'll pay all our expenses and come speak for free anywhere in the 50 states. Or they can get to, right now we got 5 courses in our academy, and they're 7.5 hours each. So somebody could get a 1 hour subscription to that. I mean, a 1 month subscription to that. If they got 1,000 people, they could take people through 5 8-hour courses in a month if they could get them through that fast, and not going to cost them any extra. So we just trying to do what I teach and learn, you know, live with abundance. I think the rest of it will take care of itself. But that's just our model. You know, I'm trying to live what I teach to a high degree. Something I'd like you to share about, Nate, you got time to keep going a little bit?
Yep.
So I met people in my life, and not a lot of them, because a lot of them probably just wouldn't say anything, but I've heard some of them say, you know, people of faith, that, you know, nothing wrong with learning a lot of good stuff from the Bible. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but some people, they don't want to learn nothing else but what's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, that's their book, their resource, and that sort of stuff. And you've shared, and we've talked, you know, before, and I know you got a strong faith, but you also value this stuff. I'm a person of faith, and I still value all the other content. But how do you see that relative to your strong faith? But then when you read something like I'm teaching and talking about, because I don't talk about a lot of faith, although people who understand the Bible at a deep level, before I was even a Christian, they always thought I was a pastor because I was talking about stuff from the Bible, but I didn't even know it, you know, back then, but they knew it. So how do you blend those two, or what would you recommend to somebody if they think, oh, the Bible's my only resource? I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that, but how do you see, why do you go to two sources, I guess, maybe is a better question.
There's definitely nothing wrong with that. What I think, so there's a big need in the world right now to hear, how do I say this? I don't want to say this. We might have to take this part out too. I'm kind of struggling for words. But how do I say this? There's been, so the Christianity and religion and certain people have taken some things out of context, and also have said that they're Christians, but they're not. And they've lied and they've hurt people and they've scared people away from the Christian faith. And I think now more than ever, it's important that we share the message to folks that need to hear it without shoving the Bible down their throat. I hope that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
but what, and so to, it's funny that you asked that question, because about a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went to see Lauren Daigle in concert. And she's doing the same thing. She's spreading a good message without shoving stuff down people's throats. And there's a big need right now for folks that have been hurt in the past to see that there's still folks in the faith that mean well and want well for you too, and want to spread the good news without shoving stuff down their throat, shoving the Bible down their throat. And so your book and your content is exactly that. It's taken some of the oldest principles and some of the oldest rules from the Bible and putting it in a context where people can read it and say, oh, that's good wisdom, but they don't really, they might not, you know, feel like they're getting the Bible shoved down their throat, if that makes any sense at all. So there's no doubt in my mind, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago when I searched for your type of content on the internet, there's no doubt in my mind that was given to me at a certain point in my life where, you know, I needed some help professionally, but also a little bit spiritually too, because, you know, as a person of faith, if I'm ever not growing in the word, then that's not good. And that's both in my faith, that's professionally and personally. If I'm not growing and doing better and always learning and always reaching out to other people that are bigger and better than me for wisdom and for insights and for mentoring, then I have a problem and I need to take a step back and check my ego and see what's going on. So your content has helped me through more than I've told you. You know, so I'll be straightforward with you too. I lost my mom back in 2017. Mm. And you, you know, some of your content has helped me see through the noise I'm getting a little teary-eyed. I apologize, but
it's real, man. That's good stuff.
I don't want you. Yeah, I don't. Again, I don't want you to think I'm being too overly optimistic. You know, I give all the credit due to God, to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Yep.
But I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that God brings people into each other's lives when needed. Yeah. At the time, I might, you know, 6 years, 8 years ago, I would have never thought that you and I would be having this conversation today. And but you helped me get through some pretty low spots in my life, and I appreciate that.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate you sharing with it. That, you know, that's the real stuff that people. That's what I want to help people with the most is that, not work.
I mean,
if you learn it at home, you're going to apply it at work, like gravity. You can't learn gravity in one place and not apply it in every place, right? So I appreciate you, you know, going down, being vulnerable and sharing that piece. And I call that the really good stuff. You know, when I hear those stories where people, you know, rebuilding relationships with their kids or going through tough times, and that same coincidence you're talking about, that's why Rhea and I are together. That's part of what brought me to my faith. Yeah, you know her story, right, Nathan? You watched her TEDx talk? Yeah, you said that earlier. Yep. So, you know, all of that. But besides me learning all these principles, and I don't think we need to take that out the way you said it, unless you want to take it out earlier about, you know, the Christianity piece, because I'm that person. And I don't know if you've heard me or saw me share about that piece, but you know, I was agnostic. I mean, till I was basically 43, and I raised my hand, accepted Christ with John Maxwell at the first training event I went to with him. And I didn't expect to do that. I wasn't there to do that. I was there for just to hear him talk and that sort of thing for 3 days. But on a Sunday morning, he did a service, and it was just volunteer. Anybody could come, and there were people there from all over the world, different faiths, no faith like me or whatever. And I just liked hearing him talk. I didn't care if he's talking about Jesus. He's just good at talking about whatever it is he talks about. You know, I went in there and I always bowed my head when somebody said, you know, bow your head for a prayer. I was always respectful anywhere. So I bowed my head and you know, everybody did. And then later he said, if you ain't a Christian or something like that, if you hadn't accepted Jesus in your life, you know, raise your head. Nathan, I didn't want to raise my head, man. I didn't want to admit, you know, to the whole room and to him especially, that I wasn't on his team, but my integrity had grown. That in it was 4 years of me into my personal growth, and my integrity had grown so much I had to raise my head, because that was the answer to his question, was if you're not, raise your head. So I had to raise your head. And he talked about becoming a Christian, accepting Jesus, and all this was in 2012, and that's, he said, you know, if you want to do it today, raise your hand and repeat after me. And my hand went up, and I was like, what in the world's going on?
That's awesome.
And, you know, I've been on the team. I read the Bible, you know, a couple of years after that. I read a student version from cover to cover, every single thing that was on a page. I read it because I didn't want to be the kind of Christian who I used to meet a lot of who hadn't read the Bible. Nothing wrong with that, but I just didn't want to be, you know, it's part of my integrity piece. But I can't quote a lot of scripture, but I can live a lot of scripture because I learned it and I still learn it, where it's just like you said. I knew John was a pastor, and I knew, you know, Stephen Covey, he was a Mormon, but I didn't care what either one of them's faith was. All I knew is what they were writing was some good stuff. And they wasn't talking about the Bible and faith in the stuff I was reading. They was just talking about it the way that I write about it, but they knew where it come from. I didn't, but I knew, all I knew is when I started applying it, it worked. It made my life at home and at work. That's all I knew. And just since, you know, we've been talking a little bit about faith, and I mean, I think that's my calling, is to do it in that way for people like me who may not be people of faith. They can start living a better life and having a better life, whether they accept Christ or not. It's up to them. It's not going to change the way that I teach and talk about it, but I'm not trying to, you know, always say I'm going to bring people, you know, closer to living the principles, but they are from the Bible. But I'm not talking about them because they're from the Bible. Literally, I'm talking about them because they're good stuff. And, you know, then somebody who is a pastor or whatever, if you get to live in the principles like I did, somebody else can make it official that you own the team. But, you know, when we talk about that blue collar leadership, the greatest leader to ever walk the face of the earth was a carpenter, a blue-collar leader, when you think about the big picture of blue-collar leadership. Mm-hmm. But I don't talk about that. Only in one of my books do I talk about my faith, and it's in my transformation book, 10 Foundational Elements of Intentional Transformation, How to Become Your Best Self. And the only reason I really talk about it in there, because that was a big piece of my transformation. I quit using profanity that day, and I hadn't used it since 2012. And I had stopped drinking alcohol about 2 months before that. So, I mean, I definitely was never going to start back again, but definitely not after I did that, because I don't judge other people, but I want to be a good role model. Doesn't mean I am a great role model, but I'm trying to be. So I try to, I look in the mirror, what I need to do to get better, to be a better role model. Cause that's all I want somebody out there who's listening to me to do, not to be me, but to be better than they are today, to be a better role model. They decide what that is. You decide what that is. I don't know what that is. Life's hard. Life's hard. So you got to, I always tell people, life's hard. That's a fact. We make it harder, though, than it has to be. That's a choice. And I want to start helping people make better choices so they can have a better life.
That's right. That's right. So that's, if you can ever figure out life, give me a call. If you can ever figure out how to make things easier, give me a call. You know, what I struggle with personally is nobody's perfect. People make mistakes. You're never going to know everything, but you have to keep the intent of what you're doing for the better. I'm right with you, man. Like I said, I appreciate what you're doing. And in a lot of ways, to be honest with you, Mr. Mac, I think you're only getting started. In a few different ways, I feel like you're only getting started, and I'm excited to see where you're at in 6 months, 2 months. I don't know. Tomorrow, I'm excited to see, to see where this is, and to continue to watch God's plan unfold.
It's awesome, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate your friendship. I really appreciate you reaching out. Some people say, "Why don't you give your number out?" I'm like, I want somebody to call me, but.
That's right.
As many people as I meet, that many people don't call. You know, a lot of people do, which people will meet a lot of you on this series that I'm doing, because I probably got enough now to do at least 50 weeks. You know, I got at least 50 people that I would want to be on here, you know, as long as they want to be on here. So it's just going to keep, I meet people all the time. You know, people are calling me like you did all the time. So I should be able to keep this going for quite a while with a new person every week. And unless we get busy sometimes, and we try to stay about a month ahead, but if we get too busy, it's hard to do this when we're traveling a lot. So we try to get ahead. I mean, we do a lot. We put out a lot of content. We posted multiple times a day. We do 100% of our stuff. Nobody writes our stuff. We don't use AI to create our stuff. We do every bit of it. We do all of it. We write it, we create it, we publish it. We just love doing it, though. We don't want nobody else to do it, because it's a reflection of who we are. We don't want somebody else. It ain't about the money. We ain't trying to scale anything. Our brand is our character. Our product is our character. That's why we don't really collaborate with somebody. Like, we don't want employees. We want to be who we are. And we may have to have employees one day to do some administrative stuff or something, but we don't even really want that. We want to try to just use supply and demand and raise the number of books people have to have to get us on site, and let supply and demand take care of itself. And anyway, though, I'm getting sidetracked. I appreciate it, man. I know we was going to say something about, you got anything you want to say about Chick-fil-A before we wrap it up, or anything else you haven't said or I haven't asked?
I think I mentioned Chick-fil-A a while ago about, Jackson's middle name being after Chip. Okay. Kathy. I think I was going to mention too, my wife worked at Chick-fil-A in high school. Yeah. And so... Truett Cathy he gave my wife Victoria, she got a scholarship for college, and Mr. Truett also signed a book that he wrote and wrote her a little note in it. And so that might seem like super, super small of a thing, but for coming from somebody like him, that meant a lot to her. It still means a lot to us today. And obviously we named our son after him, so with the high expectations, like I said earlier. But, you know, don't take things like that for granted in life. You know, stuff like that happens for a reason. And so, yeah, I don't know that I had anything else to add.
We're about to wrap it up here, so I'll go ahead and wrap it up. I thank everyone for listening. Remember, the video is online on the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel if you want to check it out. Other than that, thank you. Thank you, Nathan, for being on the show, taking this time out of your day and investing in me and in my audience. And I hope you can share this and you can get some value out of, you know, for yourself, because it's talking about you and who you are, your personal brand as well. It's a win-win. Habit 4 to 7 habit. All right.
That's right. Hey, thanks. Thanks, Mac. Thanks, Rhea. Y'all, again, keep up the good work. Keep fighting the good fight. And I'm going to be in the background supporting you guys however I can, with whatever resource that I can to help drive traffic to y'all, just because what you're doing is much needed and it's very much appreciated from Oklahoma. So,
yeah. All right. All right. Thank you. Thanks for listening, folks. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Mac Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Mac's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.